On a clear day, the moon and sun shine down on all of us. The moon and sun are scientific truths of our atmosphere, but across the world, we all experience the moon and the sun in different ways and at different times. Universal truth that connects us all, is unwavering. Yet, like the sun, moon, it shines differently for each of us. And like the sun and moon, it endures. But we grow and change. Every time we enter into relationship with another person, we are tasked with seeing and understanding their truth, as well as helping them to see and understand our own. And with each connection we make, our opinions loosen, our perspectives shift, our understanding deepens, and our capacity to weave harmony from these differing truths grows. My truth has always rested most comfortably within that flexible gray area rather than the rigidly defined. The reasoning and thought behind something has always meant more to me than the thing itself. But I can understand why others might find more comfort in the clarity that comes from well-defined ways of thinking. When faced with dilemmas, it's a relief to have simple, clear answers to rely on. I, however, always find myself coming back time and again to the conclusion that there is no clear or easy answer. Simply accepting that a clear answer or truth doesn't exist is challenging enough when facing the issues of society and the world that can mercifully often feel abstract or separate from our daily lives. But what about the times when we are called to act or make a choice? What then? If we don't have a set universal truth to rely on for guidance, how do we make the right choice? In today's information-saturated world, it can feel virtually impossible to discern what is true, let alone derive any meaning or guidance. At some point, we simply have to bring ourselves back to that one day or one moment at a time and tune into our own individual truth to find the way to do as Maya Angelou so famously advises, to do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. But listening to that inner voice doesn't mean shutting our ears to other perspectives. We can balance our truth with an open curiosity about the truths of others, recognizing that each stems from the much larger universal truth of the human experience. Until we know the universal truth, until we know the motives of the moon, this is really all we can do while treating ourselves and everyone else on this same journey with compassion and understanding.
A few years back, Los Angeles Rabbi Joel Nickerson preached a message to his congregation on Yom Kippur called Two Pockets. There's a slip of paper I have taped to my computer screen, he described, with two phrases on it. It comes from the teaching of Rabbi Simcha Bunim, a great Polish Hasidic master at the turn of the 19th century. He is credited with saying the following: everyone must have two pockets with a note in each pocket so that they can reach into one or the other depending on the need. When feeling lowly and depressed, discouraged, or disconsolate, one should reach into the right pocket and there find the words, "The world was created for me." But when feeling high and mighty, one should reach into the left pocket and find the words, "I am but dust and ashes." Rabbi Nickerson explains, the phrase "the world was created for me" comes from a passage in the Talmud about our uniqueness. The very first person was created to teach us that destroying a single human life is like destroying the entire world. And at the same time, saving a human life is like saving the entire universe. God created each person uniquely. And therefore, we must remind ourselves that the world was created for me. The phrase, "I am but dust and ashes," comes from a passage in the book of Genesis. God witnesses the evil doings of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and decides to destroy them all. So he shares this plan with Abraham, whose conscience makes him confront God with ethical questions. In an attempt to negotiate the saving of people's lives, Abraham says, "I am but dust and ashes, but if there are 50 righteous people in the towns, will you spare them?" Bunim, remember, he's the Polish Hasidic master, he highlights Abraham's lack of pride, his absence of vanity. He teaches that in moments of opportunity or significant challenge, sometimes it is our humility that can bring meaningful shifts in our lives and in the lives of others. Decentering oneself can even change God's mind. In Unitarian Universalism, if you will forgive a generalization, we're not usually very concerned with swaying God's opinion. That's not typically how we think about communicating with the spirit of life. We are more invested in understanding ourselves, our own purposes, causes, and opinions. Our tradition attempts to describe this personal truth-seeking as foundational to our faith, and also to balance it with the counterweight of community wisdom and the meaning we glean from sources outside of ourselves. And this is our fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Reverend Christina tackled the free and responsible part in her service last week, which is available on our YouTube channel. Today, we focus on the second part of our fourth principle about truth and meaning. How do we find our very own truth? And does that make it the truth, the capital T truth? Zora Neale Hurston, the anthropologist, fiction writer, and a central figure in the Harlem Renaissance, describes a childhood world made just for her in her autobiography, Dust Tracks on a Road. For a long time, I gloated over the happy secret that when I played outdoors in the moonlight, the moon followed me whichever way I ran. The other children didn't count. When her playmate, Carrie, disrupts her conviction, challenges her truth, with the claim that it is, in fact, Carrie the moon loves and follows, Zora feels her insignificance keenly. Zora must not matter at all then, if not all love and attention and glory, then none. If the world is not made for her, then she must be nothing but dust and ashes. I know this feeling. I, too, have been hurt by the unfaithfulness of the moon. The summer I finished college, I took a trip with my best friend and her family, who had a river outfitting company. We floated down the middle fork of the Salmon River in Idaho, gazing up at craggy, jutting rocks and swimming in the coldest, clearest water. When we got off that river, I was dirty and sunburned and greatly at peace with a whole world made just for me. We stopped at a convenience store to use a real bathroom, and I called my mother from a decrepit payphone. My grandmother's health had taken a sharp turn for the worse, she told me. Did I want to say goodbye in person? How quickly could I get there? It only took a few hours to drive the distance. It had taken a week to cover by boat. But it was a long few hours. I sat with my best friend's arms wrapped protectively around me, and I looked out the window. The sense of spaciousness was gone. I felt small and scared, squished. I marveled that my suffering could mean so little to everything I saw. It all looked exactly the same, but I was utterly transformed. I was, after all, just dust and ashes. As are we all, I guess, including Dante Wright, a 20-year-old African-American father and partner and son and friend and person who was fatally shot by a police officer during a traffic stop in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area this week. How must his loved ones be feeling? There are some agonies no words can express. Unlike Dante, my grandmother, her name was Frances Landsberg, she died peacefully years after this image taken on my 7th birthday. I flew home in time to sit with my family as she died surrounded by those she loved most. It was a good death, a simple one. It came at the end of a complicated and sometimes sad life, but also a purposeful, well-lived one. It is the kind of death Dante deserved. It was denied to him, as it has been to many others, by the genocidal violence of racist white supremacy. And still, angry, terrified, lamenting crowds in the street notwithstanding, the world carries on. As Zora's friend taught her, we are paid no mind by that moon. When we are in our most poignant moments of grief, basic evidence that life continues can feel like the worst insult. Life itself mocking us. Indeed, it is sometimes our truth that nothing is real or the same or alive anymore. This is the single color truth that Kim talked about during the Wonder Box, the truth that is intimately, deeply personal. This is a real and valid form of truth. And yet, the larger rainbow truth, which is what Kim named the collective meaning, is that existence isn't about any single one of us, not when it comes to the gentle death of an elder, like my grandma Frances, who was able to express with dignity that she was, in fact, ready to die. Not even, heartbreakingly enough, when it comes to the terrible murder of a young person in the street. Only structural change, the kind that forever breaks and buries systems of white violence over brown and black bodies, so that something new and whole can hold us instead. Only then can Dante's death possibly be addressed. Even if we are ever able to accomplish that, his being claimed too soon by the ancestors will never be right. It can never be considered acceptable. We have so many balancing acts, a world created for us in one pocket and dust and ashes in the other, truth and meaning, grief and healing, trauma and recovery. This gets much harder in a society with a violence epidemic. I can't even prepare worship a few days ahead of time without going back in to edit and update as footage is released, of 13-year-old Adam Toledo in Chicago, another black kid shot dead by police, and then 8 dead in an Indianapolis workplace shooting. Can you imagine dying at work? And yet, eventually, not always, but sometimes, there is closure in our grief through time, process, justice, prayer, or otherwise. There can be comfort, relief in the experience of the earth and her moonlight companioning us constantly, steadfast in the face of personal triumph or tragedy. Zora puts it this way: I ceased to ache over the moon's many loves. I found comfort in the fact that though I was not the moon's exclusive friend, I was still among those who showed the moon which way to go. Zora realized that the moon followed others as well. That's why it didn't just freeze up when her friend played and ran in the moonlight. And I too learned no one is the center when my grandma passed from life years ago, or even this week when my heart is sick with sorrow for Dante and his people, and terrified always for my own black babies. The moon has continued her course across the sky each and every night, and in my calm moments, I recognize this as right. After all, it is not just me or just you who depends on its dark glow. It is for everyone, everywhere. We might be in the middle of our own orbits, and I hope you do inhabit the center of your life. But putting ourselves at the center of the world denies the power of connection. It obliterates the beauty, meaning, and potential that comes from relationality. It renders the moonlight journeys of our friends irrelevant, trivial details, instead of critical front page stories, whether joyous or tragic, worth telling and retelling, and weaving into one collective meaning that both includes and exceeds our own personal truth. We discover that we are a crucial part of something much larger than our own insignificant selves when, paradoxically, we remove ourselves from the center of the universe. Instead, we are merely in and of it, no greater and no lesser than any other, no more impervious to destruction and loss, but no less so either. At the end of his Two Pockets message, Rabbi Nickerson asked his congregation to actually stand and to repeat after him. The world was created for me. I am but dust and ashes. The world was created for me. I am but dust and ashes. The world was created for me. I am but dust and ashes. This was at Yom Kippur, so it's how he invited his folks to start their new year. And this is how important our fourth principle is in Unitarian Universalism: to be free and responsible in the search for truth and meaning. Do not ache over the unfaithfulness of the moon. You are among those who show it which way to go. May it always be so. Amen.